going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
It is, baby. And Dirty's Daily is powered by Mocarum Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Big shout out to everybody out there that's listening Friday. Thursday and Friday, we were on location. Big time support out there, which no surprise, Houston always supports The Drive. Houston always supports Sports Radio 610. We greatly appreciate you, as well as staying plugged into Sports Radio 610 over the weekend with the Texans draft rocking and rolling, man. We obviously wouldn't be able to do our job, have our jobs, if everybody out there didn't listen. We greatly appreciate H-Town. We love you, baby. Make sure that you got the Audacy app downloaded, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download that app. Take us anywhere and everywhere you go. Obviously, you can listen to our shows live. They got a big-time rewind feature on there, as well as all the podcasts that come out of the station here, which are all of our segments. Tyler Milner, the real deal, there and there. He does all the podcasts, every segment, late titles it, so you know exactly what you're going to talk about. If you just got 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes to catch a segment that you missed, you can do that. If you want to listen to it all, obviously, you can do that as well. And all the podcasts that come up out of Odyssey, you can find there as well. And the one I would like to highlight right now is that Big Orange Wagon. Big Orange Wagon with Tyler Milner, Patrick Creighton. Download, subscribe, listen, comment, agree, disagree. Tell Tyler he's got a big-ass head and little bitty nipples. Do whatever you want. Just plug in. That's all. Right, T?
Yes, sir, and I greatly appreciate that. Yeah. It is, after all, Houston's fastest-growing All Astros Talk podcast.
So. Come on, say it with your chest. I like it, choo-choo MFers. I like it. All right, as I mentioned, it's a big weekend, a little reaction Monday. The Texans 2025 draft is in the books. Rockets game 4 versus Golden State is in San Fran tonight at 9. We got a late one, boys. We got a late one. It's a double-edged sword for me. I can get Laney down. I got the little one. I can get Laney down out of my arms by 9 o'clock. I don't know if I can keep my chin off of my chest by 11 when the game's on the line. The Houston Sabercats. How about them Sabercats, baby? They're gonna make my opening. You damn right. They won a game. They won again. Won another game. 7-3. One of the best teams in the Western Conference. That's professional rugby here repping the city of Houston. For those that don't know, they got a home game coming up May 17. Check that out as well. But as I mentioned, the Texans, their 2025 draft is in the books, and I asked one question. One question here. Which draft pick was your favorite Texans draft pick, and why? 713-572-4610. I want to hear from you. 713-572-4610. Here is the draft picks by round. Round 2, pick 34, wide receiver Jaden Higgins. Round 2, pick 16, offensive tackle. Give me the first name. Give me the first name, Ron. You got that right. Ariante. Urshery. Offensive tackle.
Ruskin High School, baby.
Out of Minnesota. That's right. That's a Kansas City kid right there. And then round three, pick 15 in that third round, overall number 79. Wide receiver Jalen Noel out of Iowa State. Teammates there. Two receivers that had really, really good career seasons at Iowa State this past season.
Two different type receivers.
Yeah. One little speed, little twitchy slot receiver, and one big-bodied Nico Collins-like wide receiver. It'll be interesting in a good way to see how those guys fit in. Pick number 97 in round three, cornerback Jalen Smith out of USC, which is really good friends with the safety that we just drafted. Kalen Bullock out of USC. Real good friends. Round four, pick 116, running back Woody Marks. I remember him from his Mississippi State days. He spent the end of his career at USC. Then we go down. Round six, we got a safety, Jalen Reed. Round six, we got a quarterback, Graham Mertz. Round seven, two in round seven, D-tackle, Keontae Hamilton, and tight end, Luke Lachey. Lachey, which one is that, Tyler? Do you know?
Might be Lachey.
I think it's Lachey. Is it Lachey?
Is he related to 98 Degrees? I don't know.
Man, let's see. Not Nick, Luke.
Are they from Cincinnati? Nick Lachey?
Is it tuna of the sea? Is it chicken? Nobody knows.
Which one of those draft picks is your favorite? And, well, I'm going to assume it's one of the top four or five there. Y'all, just for the record, as I look at the overall draft, I love this draft for the Texans. Started out liking it. The more I look at it, the more I kind of see how it fits what the Texans already have. I actually love this draft. The top two picks, I believe, are plug and play. Jaden Higgins, definitely the wide receiver opposite Nico Collins, is that dude. Ariante Urshery, the offensive tackle. I don't know if he's going to play guard or tackle. I don't know how they're going to deploy all these tackles they have, but I got to believe that Urshery is definitely going to be competing for a starting job, if not a plug and play. And then the next three guys, Jalen Noel, the wide receiver, Jalen Smith, the cornerback, and Woody Marks, the running back. I think they're all heavy rotational players. So as I look at it, Ron, the top five picks in this draft for the Texans, I just think are going to impact games from jump this year to some degree. And maybe even, again, the Urshery kid and the Jaden Higgins kid at the top, maybe even in a monster way right out of the gate.
Well, that is what you hope to do, right? If you're trading out of the first round and you get another second round pick, you treat those two, especially with their second round pick being, two picks into it, right? That's borderline in the similar thing. You just get one less year of control of them. But him going 34th overall in Higgins and then Urshery and Noel, like you want those guys. And it's hard to look at the team right now and to see at least those three. And I think probably even Woody Marks ahead of Smith, but at least those three. And if you add Marks, it's hard to look at the roster right now and then to think of the value, either the value they have put in them in terms of drafting with the premium pick, and then the value on what they have on the roster. It's hard to see how they won't, like, two out of the four of them are going to be starters, you would think, and the others are going to play a lot. Like, Woody Marks seems like he has a really good shot to be the change of pace guy for them with Joe Mixon. And then obviously the first two look like they're going to be on the field playing. So, yeah, you can clearly see how those guys would be used.
Yeah, they're just I don't have to agree with everything. Like, I thought they would go offensive lineman with that number 34 overall pick. I thought they would have moved up in the first round to go offensive lineman. So, I don't necessarily, unless you're telling you I agree with everything, obviously, but when I look at the direction that they went with their first five picks specifically, boy, I the method to the madness that I'm always looking for is absolutely there, man. So big, I love this draft for the Texans. We'll see how they pan out. If D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio continue to have luck with them second, third, fourth round picks contributing damn near immediately, this could be a big one.
Let me ask you this, though, Clint. As we're in Dirty's Day, powered by MoCam, injury lawyer. Are you surprised that they just went with, through the nine picks, they only went with one offensive lineman? and that offensive lineman's a tackle. Are you surprised that that's where they?
Yeah, I thought we would see, instead of the two wide receivers, I thought we would see two offensive linemen. Like, once they went wide receiver Jaden Higgins, I was like, all right, let's line them up. Where the big boys at? Line them up. Guards, tackles, hell, whoever, where you at? And hell, when they went back to wide receiver, I wasn't mad at it. But I thought, given that you signed Christian Kirk, given that for whatever reason, you know, you seem to have a lot of confidence in Mech, John Mechie. You made a move for Berrios and Watson. I mean, you got some guys that you purposely went out and got. That surprised me a little bit. So I expected them to go two offensive linemen, one wide receiver, and they went the opposite. Again, not mad at it, but the talking point moving forward about what are they going to do is definitely geared, Ron, around the offensive line. I like the guy they got.
Yeah,
but what is that offensive line going to shape up to look like, and did they get enough? All right, I asked the question originally. Favorite Texans draft pick this season, and why? You got one, Ron?
Favorite?
Yeah, favorite Texans draft pick.
Okay, favorite and intrigued are two different ones.
Well, intrigued. I mean, like that can be why it's your favorite.
Yeah, the most one is Arianti Erstree. They're
Kansas City kid.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it is, to me, it's their biggest place of need.
Yeah.
And there are, I guess, multiple positions he could go and play. We've heard potentially in the free draft that he could go to a potential guard position. And now I do wonder about that. We've seen Titus Howard, who has the build and the body of a tackle, move inside. Who's the guy who was with the Eagles that then got that free agent deal with the Chargers? The big guy was drafted by the Jets. They moved him down. I can't remember his name right now.
Golly.
I'm sure somebody will tell me I should be fired because I can't remember his
name.
The
right guard with the Eagles?
Yeah. He's drafted by the Jets first.
So he's a free agent.
He signed with the Chargers. Signed a 2-year, $20 million deal. But anyway, they're big guys. We don't normally see 6'6", 331 at the guard position. But we started to see that a little bit. He's kind of led the way where people feel like you can do that. So there's a chance he could play guard. Is he going to play tackle? Who knows? You feel like he's going to get on the field, but he's the one that's the most intriguing because I think there's an argument that he is the number one and most invested thing that you put in the offensive line since the season ended. Right. I think that's using a second round pick would be the most investment that you put in it. And it's intriguing to see where they will play him and what position they will play him and what that means for everybody else. So he is the one that really intrigues me.
Well, I'm glad you picked him because I'm going to go with two others. And they're the fourth.
Mekhi Becton. Thank you.
There you go. Golly, that was going to chap my hide. I'm sorry I couldn't save you on that one. Damn it, I'm better than that.
I don't know how I had his deal memorized, but I can't remember his name.
you got his money memorized.
2 years, 20 bucks.
I'm going to go with the fourth and fifth pick here as my favorite picks. This is wild. And the most important, I think, Jalen Smith, the corner out of USC for me, Ron, is a big-time get. I mean, this is clearly going to be a football team. The Houston Texans are clearly going to be a football team that lives and dies with their defense. And if you look at the strength of this defense, it's hard to not lean into the secondary. They've improved the front, the linebacker, the level two, the linebacker group, and they've improved the secondary. But this secondary, it's hard to not look at them and go, whoo, that secondary is really good. The one issue is Jalen Petrie in man situations, your nickel defender in man situations is going to have some trouble. And you just paid him to keep him around. That was the one question mark you have. When the Texans go out and with a third round pick, they draft cornerback Jalen Smith out of USC. The hope is, now I don't know how it's going to pan out, but the hope is, by the way, he's got experience at the slot corner and outside corner in college. The hope is that he allows you to do whatever you want with Kamari Lassiter in the nickel coverage defense, right? If you're going to play zone, if you're going to pressure the passer, Jalen Petrie's your nickel defender. But if you're in a situation where you know you gotta, you're going to play man coverage and you don't want Jalen Petrie to do like the Jets last year, get caught up in a man situation with Davante Adams, you now have a true corner that you can put in the game. And whether he goes to slot or Lassiter goes to slot, you've got three true cover corners across there that should be able to give you a much better chance to win versus what you had last year and versus what you were going to have before this draft. And so, again, I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but I love the method to the madness of, hey, we are really good on defense, but the one issue that we have in the secondary is if we've got to play man across the board, they're going to go right at Jalen Petrie. Okay, they'll get you a corner and give yourself some options there instead of hoping one of these guys off the streets midseason can help you out. So I love that one. And Ron, that's my favorite, to be honest with you. But the little running, Woody Marks, it's crazy to think my all that on offense and a defense. That defense.
That is the one pick that Nick has gotten that a lot of people felt like he over, according to where people had him ranked, yeah, and where he was put, a lot of people thought it was a reach.
We'll see. We'll see how much of a reach it was, and we'll see. But again, I'm more of a guy that I like the need. I mean, I like you.
The plan for what he can do.
I mean, the plan for what he can do, and the fact that you know him really well through Kalen Bullock and USC. Apparently, they're really good friends. I mean, these draft picks are a roll of the dice, and if you can get some inside information from one of your best rookies from last year that this guy is the real deal. Then it takes a little bit of that risk off the table. I love the cornerback Jalen Smith pick just for what it means schematically for this defense, which is going to be that, look, we always talk about you're going to live and die with C.J. Stroud. We're going to live and die with this defense. You might as well get ready for that. That is the truth of the matter in Houston, at least right now. The other one is Woody Marks, the running back out of USC. I really liked him at Mississippi State. I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch him much at all, if any, when he was at USC. But I vividly remember in watching him in Mike Leach's offense at Mississippi State, his first or second year in college. He was with Leach for a couple of years, and he jumped off the screen. Whether they handed the rock to him or they threw the rock to him, if you watched a Mississippi State game, you go, Mike Leach, hey, man, how can you get the ball to Marks? And in his best season with Leach in 2021, he had 416 rush yards and 502 receiving yards. I mean, he's an all-purpose, more of an all-purpose back. He can be a true backup downhill, run all the different schemes. But he is great in the pass game. He plays much faster than his 40 was at the combine, which is, what was it, 4.52 or something like that. He plays much faster than that. The Woody Marks guy is a close second for me. And I love the fact Ron, that he played in a wide open offense like that.
He would probably be my favorite too. I said the lineman from Minnesota was the most intriguing. He'd probably be my favorite too. My thing is Clint, is like, let me ask you this. If he went to, let's say, the Denver Broncos, you know the coaching staff is at Denver.
Right.
What would get you excited about him being there? Because who's there?
Sean Payton.
And you've seen what he did with
absolutely
Alvin Kamara. I don't know what Nick Caley
fair
is going to do.
Absolutely.
Like, in my mind, I could say, all right, he was there in New England when they used backs out of the backfield a lot, like James White and stuff like that when he was with New England. And, you know, Sean McVay is really creative. I don't know what his like, how he uses backs or how much he puts on that or what things he's going to be creative and develop in the offense. So he is there. I like the skill set and the contrast between him and the other backs.
Yep.
On the field. But I just don't have any idea of how he uses it.
I just like that what I saw in Leach's wide open offense. One, it tells me he's wired in a way to run, to play in that third down, what is third down in the NFL. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's got a burst, he's got speed, he's got a chance to be really fun to watch. And most importantly, again, hopefully he can spell Joe Mixon and not make it to a point where you can't use him in the pass game, Joe, that is, because he's too damn tired and he's having to carry too much of the load running the ball.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest. There's news in this Rockets game against the Warriors tonight. We'll let you know that. Also, we'll get a little bit more understanding about how Jeremy Peña ended up in the leadoff spot. We'll discuss that coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the as we said earlier, a little news with that Rockets Warriors game tonight. We'll get back to that if we have some time. But Jimmy Butler is a go tonight. Jimmy Butler will play in game four after missing game three, which was a big opportunity for the Rockets to try to win that game, that he was going to be out. Now the Warriors will have, as he is the self-proclaimed Robin of this team, they will have him back tonight, and they'll try to take a commanding 3-1 lead in this series. So Jimmy Butler, if you have missed that, is back for game four tonight. But Clint, we told the people earlier that a lineup change has been made, and leading off now is Jeremy Peña. Jeremy Peña is leading off, and yesterday, okay, he led off. Hey, they were giving Altuve a night off, but now he is leading off with Altuve in the lineup as well, batting second. And with that news, Clint, we are learning more. Astros manager, the captain, Joe Espada, said it was Jose Altuve's idea to hit second in the lineup. Okay. All right.
Altuve wants to move around a little bit.
Well, Altuve, does Altuve get, like, if he suggests something, it just happens, right? Does it? Hey.
Absolutely.
I'll play left field. All right. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, ready. I'll start working on the offseason. But you know what? I want to bet second now. All right, let's do it. Let's slide you down. Although, as we talked about it, I like the move, especially the way Jeremy Pena is swinging the bat this year, his speed. He'll get better pitches to hit. But damn, this wasn't Joe. This wasn't Dana who came up with this thought. Jose, what do you think Jose came up with it? You think this something been brewing for a week, or do you think Jose was sitting there on his day off yesterday watching Jeremy Pena get busy in the leadoff spot and say, you know what? I think we should keep him there. And Joe said, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only way to not run Christian Walker in the wrong way get is put him up there where Altuve's at.
I love them being candid, Clint, but damn. Is that how you going to tell it? Yeah, man. Jose's the one suggesting this thing. By the way, Jose Altuve wasn't done about Jeremy Pena. Dana, I hope you're listening. Here is Jose Altuve on Jeremy Pena. He's a very valuable player for us, and I'm very surprised he's not signing a long-term deal with the Astros. He's a guy you want in your team for a long term. Dana Brown and Mr. Crane need to start working on it.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
What in the hell? This is the second time in two years.
Didn't work out with Bregman.
I know. It's the second time in the last several months that he is... He has sent a message to the front office on signing somebody in the infield. Okay. Jose Altuve has turned the page right now and just said, hey, man, I'm getting everybody in here.
You can have my spot in the lineup, and I'm gonna tell management they need to, and ownership that they need to start working on your deal.
Yeah, right now. And you know what? While I'm at it, Framber, man, he's an important piece of this group, too. I need you to sign all these dudes. And you know what? Hunter Brown yesterday, hey, why don't you get started on this one?
He's on a good run.
I need all three of these. No, I'm not kidding. They probably need to bring at least two of them guys back. I need all of these guys long term. I'll be honest with you. I love it from him. I love it. Yes, man. Put pressure on these dudes. And I'm telling you, Jose Altuve sitting over here, he sees this. My man in an offseason just lost Kyle Tucker and Bregman. He's over there watching Francisco Lindor get Juan Soto, keep Pete Alonso, getting all these. He said, hell with this, man. No, man, I'm putting pressure on him. I love it. He is the one guy that can do it, and he should put pressure on these dudes.
I doubt he's real interested in ending his career the same way he started with the Astros.
No.
And by that, I mean surrounded by very little and not winning much. So he's just trying to make this thing last. He's trying to stretch it out and make this thing last, ain't he? Ugh, hope it works out better for Pena than it did for Bregman.
I do. And, man, he let it go. Wow. Good for him, man. Let it go. Put pressure on them. Dana, ball's in your court. All right, I let the Bregman thing go. I'll be damned if you don't make this Jeremy Pena thing happen. Jeremy over there saying, hey, man, chill, man. Let me do my thing a little bit. All right, as we said, Clint, the Rockets will have to face Jimmy Butler tonight. You think they blew this series? You think ultimately with them losing that game without Jimmy, not taking advantage of a non-Jimmy Butler game, and a lot of the other starters struggling. Draymond struggled offensively. Poe struggled offensively. Moody didn't play great. Do you think they've maybe blown the series with that game Saturday night?
No, I think they've missed two big time opportunities to win a series, and win it in convincing fashion, and both of them have to do with games that Jimmy Butler either didn't play in or left early, you know what I mean? Like how in the hell, does. For whatever reason, the game, it just seems like it's a different team that shows up. And I say that to say, for me, I feel like if the team that showed up in game two shows up, then they can get a series with Jimmy Butler playing the rest of the way. If that team doesn't show up, if that Jalen Green doesn't show up, then it don't matter. Hell, they can do it. Golden State can do it with or without Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, that team, yeah. Well, defensively, he helps and adds to them, obviously offensively as well. And it's going to be a challenge.
I mean, yeah, you know, they had a chance to win game one, and Jimmy Butler played the entire time, and you played so poorly, you never gave yourself a chance, right? Yeah. So, yeah, man, I just want to see a Golden State Warrior team that's healthier, that everybody's playing, and I want to see the Rockets give their best. I think the Rockets are the better team if they can do that.
Yeah. Listen, when it gets down to like man-to-man and, you know, these guys are playing and Steph, they're able to at least in some way, you know, either contain or counterbalance Steph.
Right.
Then this rolls this way. But you get nine.
Yeah.
You get nine from the guy who is supposed to lead the way for you. It's going to be a fight. Mm-hmm. 7-9 is what Jalen Green has done in games 1 and 3 in the losses, and then 38 in the win. So a big one tonight that just got tougher with Jimmy Butler being a part of this thing. Coming up, you can join in on this on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Coming from the end of the season, now we've gotten through training, gotten through free agency, now the draft completely. What would you say your grade is on how they have handled their biggest issue, which is the offensive line? What would be your grade on how they've handled the offensive line? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, I see some people here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, sitting in their thoughts, 713-572-4610. And those on YouTube and Twitch, what would be your grade? I'm going to tell you what Tyler, actually, I'll let Tyler say it here in a bit. What would be your grade? Like, we know when the season ended, maybe I don't want to use absolutes. Maybe some of you didn't think this was the case, but I think there was at least a fair majority of people who thought the number one issue with the team that has to get fixed is the protection and offensive line issues. And they have made moves. They have made moves. They have moved on from some guys. They've brought in some new guys. They drafted a tackle in this draft. But since they ended their season in Kansas City, we knew that was probably the main thing. Hell, they said it as much. Got to find a way to protect our quarterback. We understand the moves they've made. Brought in guys, let guys go. Fired Bobby Slowick. Added Nick Cayley. Fired Chris Strausser. And then they brought in, but gave a promotion to Cole Popovich to become the new offensive line coach, even though he was the assistant.
Definitely goes by CP, by the way.
Does he?
CP or Pop? Which one do you think?
Pop.
Hmm.
I got to see if it's CP, but I would think Pop. But those are the moves from the coaching perspective that they did on this. What would you grade their handling of the offensive line since the season ended? Someone text in. B for the draft. If Irsay is a guard, I give him an A for the offseason. I want to say C+. I love the tackle they got. I just need to wait and see how good this lineup is and if it was really a scheme issue. So that is the latest there with the text line coming in on things. So where would you grade? How would you grade them?
I've been thinking about it since we talked about it earlier. I would probably go with a C-. And to me, the only thing for me personally that's saving the Texans in how they've handled their offensive line is I was a big fan, love the move of getting out of the Laremy Tunsil business. I think that took big balls. I think that was huge to make that move. That's a plus. That's a plus for me. But then all of a sudden, as you laid out, You got a first-time play caller that you're tasked with getting better. You got a first-time O-line coach that you've tasked with fixing the problems. You've got a quarterback that's a third-year guy that we've seen as much hold the ball and take sacks as we have get it out of your hand. You know, and then you replaced it with a bunch of, you know, 1-2 year deals. You know, guys that I would say were mid to lower level free agents, not very convincing. And then in the draft, you know, you let the first round go, and you move down and take an O lineman that's actually a tackle where you have a surplus of tackle. So I still don't know what they're going to do with the interior offensive line. So as I talk through all of it, man, the only thing saving them from a D is the Laremy Tunsil move.
That's the only thing that's saving them from a D. Because you're like, that is your favorite move they've made in the offseason, I would assume.
Yeah. If you'd have told me, Clint, they go out there and they sign Joe Tooney and they sign, you know, the top center on the market, and I would have thought it was not very likely, but I would have said that's more likely than them ever splitting ways with Laremy Tunsil. Like, I didn't think that they would ever pull that trigger. So that's the most impressive move that you could make this offseason. But everything they've done, like at every different level, has been really a non-factor, a non-needle mover in terms of protecting your quarterback for me. We're just going to have to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's hard for me to step back. By the way, Tyler's grade was a C as well. That where you were at, Tyler.
Yeah, good enough to get a degree, I guess, but that's also being pretty optimistic, just waiting and seeing type of deal.
I think a part that I have to get over with, and I think it's probably just me on my own, judging by some of the responses, this is not at all, Clint, how I saw them handling this. I am surprised, because judging by how they've handled the draft, in the draft, Clint, they drafted one lineman. One lineman. Going into the offseason, first off, to think what they brought in. They bring in Cam Robinson, a tackle. They bring in Trent Brown, a tackle. They bring in Tomlinson, journeyman type of guard that cost you $3 million. They bring in Ed Ingram, who I would think the plan is not for him to be a starter for you, just as a depth play. And that's the moves they've done. I would have thought, all right, man, they're gonna get some young guys, two out of the draft, that can really jump in and help be a part of not just now, but the future. And they only added one. But I think it just screams and shows, Clint, they have a level of confidence that it was more coaching and scheme. Hell, many of you felt that way. But it seems by their moves, Like for instance, Chicago, they didn't think it was just coaching and scheme.
No, they had a player problem.
They felt like they had a player problem, right? I felt like that the Texans had a player problem. And by their moves, they felt like it seemed like it was more of a coaches and scheme problem. And so we're going to see if that is the case, that they can have a big improvement from what they got last year with this group that they're going to bring in. But boy, that's the part that's hard for me, because this is just not at all how I sensed that they were going to attack this, Clint, was to do it in this manner. But we'll see.
I agree. But what they've done, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Ron. When I sat there and heard D'Amico Ryan say, you know, we got to protect the quarterback, and multiple people say we got to protect the quarterback from inside out, I thought for sure the money would be spent, that the assets would be allocated to guard, center, guard. It didn't happen. That's not how they've seen it, right? It's clear right now, in hindsight, looking back at all the moves, the draft and everything else involved, it's very clear that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans feel like the problem protecting the quarterback for the Houston Texans, protecting their most prized asset,
yes,
they feel like the problems were coaching and scheme, all wrapped up in one, and Laremy Tunsil and mentality in the O-line room, all wrapped up in one. Those two things right there. I don't give a damn how convincing of an argument anybody can put out there. Those are the two things. Bobby Slowick, scheme, hard-headedness, not communicating, unwilling to change, and Laremy Tunsil, an offensive line room that was nonchalant about everything they did, wasn't tough, wasn't physical, wasn't accountable to each other. Those two things were the two problems with the Houston Texans. It's so much so that they're willing to then go hire a guy that's never called plays. At least Bobby had done it 2 years. And they were willing to go out and sign offensive linemen to replace Laremy Tunsil that are, I mean, I would say rentals at best.
I wonder who, like, is, because as you said, it's not just the coaching and the scheme. It's the attitude. It's the mentality.
Yeah.
And, Clint, there's still a possibility that they have three of the guys that were here last year and here multiple years be in play, right? Juice Scruggs is in play, right?
Yeah.
Patterson, more than that, Patterson is in play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Titus is going to play.
Blake
is in play. Those are four guys that have been here at least last year. Three of them have been here multiple years. Like,
yeah, they just,
how does
they,
that mentality they, change? Like, well, the mentality
they cut,
part.
They
like,
cut the head off the snake. I mean, they cut the head off. Anybody that could have potentially set the tone in the O-line room, and I mean that from Bobby Slowick to what's my O-line coach's name? Bobby Chris Strouser.
Oh, Strouser.
Right? Bobby Slowick, Chris Strouser, Shaq Mason, and Laremy Tunsil. Anybody, the four guys that would be either coaches or leaders in that room, I think they cut the head off the snake, removing all that entire group, and now you got a fresh start. Now the question is do you have a Will Anderson? Do you have a C.J. Stroud? Do you have somebody?
My
in
next
that room?
Question: Who is it? Tomlinson?
I don't know. I do think the guys that are still around are zero threat to be a voice in that room. Like not like I don't think Titus Howard is going to go in there and positively or negatively take over that room and go, boys, jump on my chair, like my back. I think he.
So the way that completely changed the mentality that like you're talking about.
I think it's a non-factor. I think he's a non-factor.
I mean, to me, it would be if Cam Robinson has that. Cam Robinson is a guy that I think has played in the year or played in the league, that's had some success in the league. If he has that,
To me, the bigger, because I don't know who has it or who doesn't. It's hard for me to think that a guy that's on a 1 or 2 year deal that is kind of a journeyman in the league is going to be that guy. To me, the real opportunity here is for D'Amico Ryans, and if that is Cole Popovich, maybe that's who. I haven't heard from him. We haven't heard anything from him. But the truth of the matter was there was nobody that was going to have a bigger impact in that O line room than Laremy Tunsil a year ago and beyond and before, and D'Amico Ryans I think helped create that room and the mentality in that room. Now, D'Amico Ryans can absolutely set the standard for the offensive line for the Houston Texans moving forward. That's a clean slate from that perspective, and he can demand whatever the hell he wants to demand from the O-line. If they don't do it, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire, and within that, we told you about this earlier in the show, this is your opportunity. In the 5 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club tournament course that is coming up in the next 2 days. The next 2 days in the 5 o'clock hour, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to that event. We will hook somebody up with that coming up in the next hour, so stay tuned for that and be listening for the cue to call. Also, the Rockets, their season potentially could be on the line tonight. Going down 3-1 to the Warriors would be a really, really tough thing to try to come back from. They got a game tonight. Jimmy Butler, he is back. We'll discuss that. We'll look at what's going on with the Astros as well, as they got a new series starting up tonight against the Tigers, one of the best teams playing right now in the American League. And the lineup is a little different. We'll tell you all about that as we continue right here live on The Drive.